Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate y'all being with us on a Friday. I'm live from Harris Cherokee, the book, the sports book, where you can place live wagers, pro and collegiate sporting events. Here at Harris Cherokee, we were also yesterday Harris Valley River and Murphy, North Carolina, both locations. Our home away from home. It is just a day's drive from anybody who can hear my voice right now. It is a fun, fun place to be. We do have Rick Neuheisel coming up in about 10 minutes from SiriusXM's draft coverage last night. And then bottom of the hour, go switch gears a little bit. We're going to maybe talk about some of the draft proposition wagers last night. But then also Robert Ferengo, our good buddy from DocSports.com. Ponies are running, so we will give you a brief preview of that. And then, again, an opportunity to get something free from Robert as well. So that is the rest of this hour, but it all starts me getting you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
Headline, Kansas hires Buffalo's Lance Leipold as head coach. Kansas football now has a head coach. We talked with Dave Bartu about this, Chris Landry, a couple of other insiders as well. And there was not a lot of urgency. It wasn't going to be before any sort of transfers wanted to consider Kansas. It wasn't going to be before spring practice started or concluded. It wasn't going to be before any of that. It wasn't going to be before the end of the academic semester. Well, they barely beat that one. Lance Leipold has had a lot of success at Buffalo. He and the Jayhawks agreed to a six-year contract, and that's coming straight from the school. He's a two-time Mid-American Conference Coach of the Year, 37-33 at Buffalo, two division championships, three consecutive bowl appearances, 24-10 there since 2018. It will be an adjustment, but that conference is full of good coaches and good players, and they're all of equal ilk. It's not like, you know, he was head coach at Missouri and they dropped down to the MAC. He's got hired at a MAC school and turned him into about as good and consistent as you're going to find in that league. I think he's 42 years old, maybe? Young man. So he is now the head coach there. He's in his early 50s, actually. So the search had been narrowed, apparently. Jeff Monken, Skip Holtz, Mike Elko. We talked about him earlier. There was some talk about Willie Fritz. He has some history in state coaching at Pittsburgh State. But eventually it goes to Leipold, and they now have their head coach. So Kansas, again, very successful coach and one of the choices that we were talking about leading up to this. But it is a challenging job, and it's actually – here's the part that's not supposed to be true. He was just the head coach for six seasons at Buffalo. This job is actually more challenging. Like, at Buffalo, it was mostly about you because you're all kind of the same in the – and I'm talking just like broad brush here, okay? You're mostly kind of the same in the MAC. Look across the line of scrimmage. What do you see? If you're coaching at Buffalo and you have a Tuesday night game against Central Michigan or Akron or Toledo, if you look across the line of scrimmage, do you know what you see? You see players that kind of look like yours. You're at Kansas? That's not what it is. Those players from Oklahoma, they look really big and fast. Players from Texas, they look really big and fast. So it's, in its own way, far more of a challenge. You don't get paid a whole lot of money. And a couple of folks have sort of won there. Mangino won, and then they fired him. And Glenn Mason won, sort of, and then he left. But that's as tough a job as there is out there. And you've got to declare whether you're going JUCO full way or whatever it is and just commit to it. But the likely outcome is he's head coach there and probably at the end of his third season or maybe halfway through his fourth. It's just not working. You're not winning games. We like what you're doing in the classroom and everything else, but they'll be coming for somebody else's coach. The reason it was such a big deal is I thought that they maybe were coming for, I don't know, Brent Venables or Mike Elko or someone, and they never did. Headline, 6 Alabama players taken in first round of the NFL draft. Ties record for the Miami Hurricanes in 2004, and that was D.J. Williams and Vince Wilfork, et cetera, that crew. So Alabama with 6. The SEC led the way with all conferences last night. Did not set the conference record of 15. They've done that twice, the ACC once, but they had 12 last night, and they got more coming off the board early tonight. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a break, come back, talk with Rick Neuheisel next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
About 10 years ago, I am talking with Steve Young, and it was at the opening of a Mormon temple. And he and Dale Murphy and Danny Ainge were there. And so I'm interviewing Steve Young, and he had a quote that I've repeated it since. I think he put it perfectly. He said, biggest difference between college and the NFL is in college, everybody's open. He says, in the NFL, nobody's open. What I hear from people who have played quarterback and know things is that there are two issues with new quarterbacks to the pro game. They hang on to the ball too long, and they turn it over, and those are basically led from the same thing, that they're used to everyone being open and it being their chessboard. And then suddenly that ain't the case when you start playing on Sundays. I want to welcome on a man that we all watch him on CBS during the season. Could have heard him on Sirius XM last night dealing out draft talk. It is, I'm going to call him a good friend of the program here. It is Rick Neuheisel. Rick, welcome, brother. How you doing today?
I am well, Chuck. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm great, man. It's draft time. We got real things happening in the world of football right now. Let's talk about you were on the line there as I was bringing you on. Talk about those two issues that, like I said, folks who know say young quarterbacks hang on to the ball too long because they're waiting for the receiver to – wait a minute, he's supposed to be open by now. And then I can get that ball in there, and then they don't, and it's a pick. Talk about those two mistakes and how they figure into the Trevor Lawrence profile. Because I don't know that they do.
it's an interesting take. I've always said it this way. People get open in both college football and pro football. In pro football, they don't stay open because the catch-up speed of the defense is so much more athletic from top to bottom. And so the key for a quarterback entering the NFL from the collegiate ranks is, number one, understanding how defenses work and all the nuance of defenses, because it isn't just cover three. There's a lot of different varieties of cover three, right? It's like the master chefs know that there's lots of different kinds of onion to put in their masterpiece, as opposed to just saying onion, right? So you have to understand how defenses work. And then number two, you have to be able to anticipate and the ball's got to be let go before your receiver's open, knowing that he will be when the ball gets there, but because he's not going to stay open, it better be delivered on time. And right now in the collegiate ranks, because tempo is the favorite weapon of offensive coordinators, they are less worried about teaching defense to quarterbacks than they are about getting back to the line of scrimmage and go, go, go. And they teach passing through what I call progression reads, meaning that you go to this receiver and then to that receiver and to that receiver and don't worry so much about what's happening on the defensive side of the ball. If you go in that progression order, you'll find an open guy in space and he'll be able to make something happen. And because of that, people arrive at the NFL behind the eight ball. When it, you know, Jordan Love, the rookie quarterback that got so much attention yesterday because Aaron Rodgers was, you know, complaining that he's not valued enough at Green Bay. Jordan Love was asked about heart count, and he didn't even know what a heart count was, right? The heart count trying to get somebody to jump mm-hmm. offside. Aaron Rodgers, one of the geniuses of doing so, he wasn't even aware of it because he'd been in the gun. He'd been in, you know, silent counts or, you know, the clap counts or what have you that are all over college football. And so the nuance of the game, it takes a while. So if a rookie's coming to the NFL, how quickly can he assimilate to what they're being asked of? And the real key to it, Chuck, for the NFL coach, is if you're taking somebody like a Trevor Lawrence that you expect to play as early as Trevor Lawrence will play, then you need to bring a little bit of Trevor Lawrence offense with you. And that's why I thought it was fascinating that Travis Etienne also goes to Jacksonville. It's a comfort blanket. It's like a security blanket. They'll be able to do that RPO world that they've already done so many times. They'll be able to run all the route tree that the Etienne's gifted at running. It'll give him a sense of comfort to begin his pro career with the Jaguars.
Kyle Shanahan knows more than me, and he just drafted a quarterback that played whatever, 17 games or whatever the number was, or 13. Give me your download on a guy like Trey Lance, because, intriguing is the word that keeps coming up. And intriguing, when something's intriguing, that means there's a bunch of stuff we don't know.
Yeah, this is you can't do this if you are on the hot seat. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan feels great comfort in his role as the 49er head coach. John Lynch feels great comfort as the GM. So they can make these kind of moves that might, from one vantage point, seem outlandish for a guy that hasn't played much and go for a guy that they have this much belief in. Now, having met Trey Lance last night, I can see why they're enamored. He is a very impressive guy on the hoof. We always used to say in recruiting, he better pass the eye test. Well, check that box. Trey Lance passes the eye test. In sitting and talking to him, getting the level of maturity in the conversation, there's no question he checks that box. I asked how much of the conversation with the 49ers over the course of these evaluations was football. He said a great deal, you know, so they are comfortable with his acumen towards, you know, what happens on defense and so forth. So this is a play that, you know, you've got to have some chutzpah to go up and do, trade two ones and a three to get there. You also understand that you're going to, you know, disgruntle Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy that's going to be taking the snaps this year. What impact will that have on a locker room? But when you've got cachet and a contract that says you're going to be there for a while, you can make these kind of moves. And, you know, fortune favors the bold. So give the 49ers credit for being bold.
Wrapping up with Rick Neuheisel from SiriusXM, CBS et al. Mac Jones, talk about the unusual nature of his gray matter, because I have been told firsthand stories from Mobile about him learning or being taught at noon, and by 3 he's teaching every offensive player on his team, like what he just learned from an NFL coach. Chris Landry, if you know him, he's the best on the board since Peyton Manning. What does that allow an NFL offensive coach to do?
Now you get to cook, right? You get to cook anything you want. You know exactly, and that's why everybody thought Mac Jones would be the choice of Kyle Shanahan, because he likes to play quarterback through the guy that's actually on the field and get his offense to sing and dance. the addition of Trey Lance now adds quarterback legs to that equation, and that's why they're so enamored with him. You know, Mac Jones does it in the traditional way from the pocket, but listen, Bill Belichick, who is, you know, in simpatico with Nick Saban, understands, you know, what a quarterback that understands what defenses do, knows all the tells like a poker player does, what that does in terms of winning games, especially those games down the stretch, having had Tom Brady for so long. So the hope is that Mac Jones can be in that category. He certainly is bright enough to be.
All right, Kyle Trask, still on the board. I'll tell you what I saw last year was fits and starts from the running game, poor pass protection a lot of times, receivers who were great but didn't play every week, and Kyle Trask, literally every single Saturday, it was on him. And he threw Florida into a real game on the fourth quarter against the Tide. I love Kyle Trask. Tell me what you think NFL teams think about Kyle Trask.
Chuck, I'm with you. I think this is a miss. I was surprised no one went up in the late first to get him because the guy's a winner, and he's the kind of guy who will stay. I mean, he's patient. This is a kid who was a backup in high school to De'Eriq King, ended up staying there, ends up going to Florida, stays through the coaching switches and so forth, comes off the bench against Kentucky, wins the game. And this last year, Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts caught the ball from somebody. And this guy did it with a lot of empty protection, which means just five guys. He did it getting hit a lot. And then, because he loves his school, goes and plays in a Cotton Bowl without any of his receivers.
Yep.
They all opted out of that game. And he's getting downgraded because he's throwing to guys he hasn't even thrown to all season long. I think Kyle Trask is an absolute gold nugget for somebody today. I wouldn't be surprised somebody trading up to get him.
Well, Coach, I always appreciate your time. It's always tremendous insight, brother. Thank you. We'll do it again soon, man.
I look forward to it, Chuck. See you now.
Yes, sir. Rick Neuheisel, again, former head coach, hither and yon around, mostly out west, but also played a little pro quarterback in his past, and well, certainly he's a real good one at UCLA. He was right there. I'm trying to get the years right, and it was he and was it Steve Bono? And it was that early transitioning to mid-'80s time and kind of the getting in the twilight with Terry Donahue in the late 80s, and that was just a really, really, really good program. Used to seeing them in the Rose Bowls, and I have said UCLA is one of those teams. And I got to say, along with Texas, I hope Southern Cal doesn't occupy that space, that they're just way too good of a program ever get into any sort of extended time like they've been. And it's just – there's just no excuse for it, given the recruiting and everything else that UCLA has to offer. So I appreciate Coach coming on. And Kyle Trask, when you go online and, you know, you move the mouse and you check everything you want, and then you click, all right, order from Dr. Frankenstein, click now to, boom, give me a quarterback. He's not very mobile, and he doesn't – in fact, Dan Mullen, it wasn't funny. I gave him credit. I applauded him. He's like, we're going to do some things with Kyle Trask to get him moving. Mostly it was moving forward into a pile of humans and getting a yard and a half when you needed a yard. But Dan Mullen was doing it. And every time I was like, all right, hang on, I'll give him another star there. I was like, it doesn't look great, and it doesn't get big yardage, but he's doing it. So there's at least that element to it. That's not what Kyle Trask does. Kyle Trask, actually, you're talking about a guy – that, you know, I talk all the time about the changing nature of the NFL. Well, it's now changed again. If this was just greatest show on turf, or if it was before that even happened, the Warren Moonish sort of offenses that precursored that, but then even into the sweet spot of NFL football that you really got into following Joe Namath and the Jets and everything in the mid-60s, you get into the NFL from about the mid-70s, you had about 20 years where the classic quarterback was standing in the pocket, deliver the ball downfield. Protect me up front. We're going to send probably two guys into the pattern. Maybe that's Kyle Trask, man. And there are still a lot of places around the NFL where that is going to be the approach. Patrick Mahomes, absolutely. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Not everybody has that. And you don't have to have it. It is an addition. You can win with a lot of guys like Kyle Trask, and he's still available.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody getting in for your college football conversation today. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, good friend of mine, Robert Ferengo from Doc Sports Service, docsports.com. He has been in the business for about 20 years, and the reason for bringing him on today is there's always a lot of draft bet, the proposition bets with the NFL draft, and then also the Kentucky Derby, and a lot of folks like to just hear about the ponies, so we will be having him come on in just a couple of minutes. If you're looking at the NFL draft tonight and the top-rated players still available heading into the second round, I've told you that Christian Barmore is – this doesn't happen very often. We had a few years where we got into sort of a running back rut where there were no running backs went off the board in the entire first round, and then the Saints trading back in and getting Mark Ingram. I believe is how it ended at maybe the 2000 – would that be the 11 draft? There's been a little bit of a bounce back as far as having a lead dog at the NFL. Not a whole lot of Ezekiel Elliott's, but a little bit of that. But a running back, that was a position where they went a couple of drafts without any first-round picks. I could not imagine there ever being an NFL draft without a first-round defensive tackle. If you go back just a couple of years ago, the Ed Oliver, Dexter Lawrence, that draft, was it four defensive tackles in like the first 11 or 12 picks? And there weren't a whole lot of reaches. This is the big contradiction between just a couple of years back, four defensive tackles in the first, I think it was dozen picks, and then last night, none. You could actually be a little discerning. You could actually be a little uppity about it. Oh, well, this almost perfect defensive tackle prospect, Ed Oliver, he has this ding, this issue, this pink flag. Yeah, you could be picky. Last night, I think teams wanted to be picky. I think somebody wanted to talk themselves into taking Christian Barmore. Didn't happen. So I think he's going to be – it is – I just cannot imagine an NFL draft where the first defensive tackle off the board comes in day two. So that's going to be Barmore. I've already said it doesn't get five or six picks into it. It may be one of the first couple, but he will be the first defensive tackle. There is another SEC offensive playmaker, though, out there that I didn't see get a lot of talk last night. He wasn't really thought of as a first-rounder, and I am talking about Elijah Moore. Now, Terrence Marshall? Okay, he's supposed to be off the board already. Because he actually had an angle. Terrence Marshall's angle is he's one of the few big receivers in the draft. There are plenty of 5'11", 6', even 6'1". Terrence Marshall's he's about as big of any of the premier, and I'm talking first three rounds, and I'll kind of expand it to that. He's as about as an accomplished and polished and ready of the premier prospects. That has size. Now, obviously, Elijah Moore is on the other side of that, but I expected us to be talking about Elijah Moore before rounds two and three. I didn't think we'd be talking about Terrence Marshall. I didn't think he would still be on the board, and there are other players from the ACC, the SEC, some of them nationwide as well. Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackles out of Oklahoma State, and again, he's a biggin', and at that spot where you can play deeper into your career, do you know what's not as big a deal? Kyle Pitts, for instance, we mentioned this yesterday. It's the first or second week of October he'll turn 21. Kyle Pitts, 20 years old. 20 years old. It's another 6 months before he turns 21. Tevin Jenkins is a fifth-year senior, and that's a guy who's going to be 23, pushing 24 by the time he hits your NFL roster. And at offensive tackle, where you can play till what age? 37, 38? The age thing is not even a deal with him. And I thought that that's one of the three positions. Edge, which there aren't great edges. Ojulari still on the board. I thought edge is the position where you trade into the end of the first round. Left tackle specifically, quarterback. Not really how it turned out. So Elijah Moore, I was expecting him. Javonte Williams and also Carter from North Carolina, both of those, I was expecting to talk about both of those players. Tyson Campbell, I honestly thought that that would be a first-round pick, maybe ahead of Eric Stokes. That didn't happen. As I said, Ojulari is still on the board. He is waiting for his name to be called. Nick Bolton from Missouri. I thought two things about Nick Bolton entering last night's first round. I thought he was a first-round talent and somebody would get an uber-productive player because he isn't perfect physically. Then it's part of the reason maybe he wound up in Missouri and not a bigger, more accomplished, better program. Part of the same reason maybe that he is slipping into the second round, and I'm going to go ahead and cap that and say it is the second round there. Boogie Basham, Carlos Basham, defensive end out of Wake Forest, again, in a very thin edge class, pass rushing class, then I would have not been surprised, I'll put it that way. And, again, another guy who's a fifth-year senior, wouldn't have been surprised at all if Basham would have come off the board with somebody trading into, 30, 31, 32, et cetera. But, again, that did not happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk a little wagering heading into the weekend. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
And where he separated himself, Chuck, and honestly, I think he's the best in the Alabama history that I've ever seen, is as a receiver. I mean, he's
wow.
A guy. He just doesn't run, a go route, a curl route. He can run the entire route tree, and he considers himself, as he said, another ride out, another wide receiver.
Rudy Harmon, ESPN Huntsville. He's talking about Najee Harris. I'm going to say big old Najee Harris getting into the pattern. It's unusual for a running back because, remember, it's big old Najee Harris. It's unusual for a running back to be viewed as a three-down guy leaving college, heading to the NFL anyway, and Najee absolutely is. It is unusual for us to get a look at a kid maybe through a couple of seasons of college football and go, okay, I know what he's about. He's about being all 225 or 30 or whatever, and he's about the shoulder pad and the knees and the physical, and, I mean, he's skills, and I'm sure he's a complete football player. I'm certain he is. But I know what he's about, for instance. Like Derrick Henry. Yes, Derrick Henry had to block and catch and run wind sprints at the end of the practice and do all kinds of stuff. Derrick Henry had to do all that. I knew what Derrick Henry was about. I knew what Trent Richardson was about. Knew what Mark Ingram was about. I thought I knew what Najee Harris was about. Drew DeArmond, who I've said before, I mean, that guy knows as much about Alabama football probably as anybody we've had on. And by the way, I'm on. I know a little bit about Alabama football. He knows as much as any stuff that happened 30 years before he was born. And he's talking about bold. He's talking about Najee being as much a three-down back, as much a receiving threat, as much a complete running back as any player they've had. As any running back into the passing game as Josh Jacobs or Kenyon Drake or whoever else was coming out of the backfield. It's a heck of a compliment by somebody who knows. And I can't promise you I'll argue with him. And I got mad respect for some of Alabama's running backs and the roles that they carved out for themselves, getting themselves in. Like Justin Fowler, do y'all remember him? Justin Fowler was like their fourth player who was listed at that position. He wasn't really a running back, and maybe they had him as H-back or whatever it was. Justin Fowler found a role. He got NFL game checks. Eddie Lacy, kind of a limited player. I thought he was funny. Eddie Lacy, kind of limited, made his way to the NFL, ate his way out of the NFL. I think it was China food was his landmine. But Eddie Lacy, I knew what he was about. I thought I did with Najee. And when I talk about the mindset, starting at the top in Tuscaloosa, it's business, man. It's business. It's, all right, let's talk about your future. Are you going to turn pro? I don't know, Coach Saban. Let's talk about it. Okay, here are the positives. Who was it that they had to almost, I remember hearing the story, they almost had to force out of the building. They're like, dude, you're going pro. We're not letting you back. You're too good. Go pro. I don't want to go pro. No, you're going. I've given Dabo credit. He was one of the first coaches to be blatant about it, but Nick Saban as well. And any coach who has been hesitant or doesn't want to fully embrace the NFL and all the you're missing out yourself. Because players gravitate to that. And then you get honesty. It's not just recruiting to a place where it's okay to talk about the NFL. They'll help you. You ever thought maybe you had a privilege or an ability or something, but you didn't want to rub the authority's nose in it? You kind of wanted to just like, you know what, don't ask, don't tell. Don't bring it up. Not at Alabama, not at Clemson, not at Ohio State, not at the most successful place. So, yes, you know what we all think of? We think in recruiting. They put a lot of players into the league, and they embrace it. So, you know what? I'm going to consider, in this case, Alabama more than I would have or more than another school or more than anything. I'm going to consider Alabama because of how they put players in the pros. That's what we always connect, and that's where we stop. One of the big benefits is to the not just to the program, it's to the player. If you are, in this case, Najee Harris, and your coach and your program and the environment and the atmosphere is NFL. We're about the name on the front. What's that phrase? We're about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. Name on the front of the jersey. If that is your mentality, which is old school, if that is your mentality, that does not jive with a 2021 football player in college. But you know what the 2021 football player in college will do? He'll kind of go along with it. He'll kind of play that game, but you'll never really have a relationship with him to the point where an All-American guy like Najee can come to the coach and go, hey, I'm thinking about the NFL. What do you think? The benefit to the player is he knows he can get on from his head coach. And when he got the feedback from Nick Saban, among others, it's more than, it's not, you know, Sungali. When he got the feedback from others, they came up with a business plan. All right, here is what, if you add to your game, this will make you a three-down back, a first-round consideration, whatever. Fill in all the gaps of all the things that you aren't right now, which is why you aren't going in the 2000 draft. Because you're not J.K. Dobbins or you're not, you know, whoever the running backs were. Last year, when Najee was like, I'd like to play, and the NFL said, your draft grade is whatever, third round. Oh, coach, they said third round. Well, Najee, let's talk. What a resource for the kid. How valuable for the kid. And believe me, this is not Nick Saban doing it for pats on the back or warm fuzzies. Do you know what Nick Saban got this year? Like, I don't know, 25 touchdowns from Najee? And a bunch of rushing yards and a bunch of catches and a bunch of receiving yards. So, yeah, Nick and the program, Bama, they're getting theirs. Najee got his last night. Now, this is extra. I'm going to try to pick the, I'll say like the worst on-field franchise. It's got to be Detroit. I'm going to, because Jacksonville's just not old enough. But I'm going to say Detroit. And if he would have been drafted by Detroit, you know what that is? That's awesome. Now, that's just a franchise that doesn't know what they're doing. They spent the third overall pick on a cornerback, and it's not Champ Bailey or Deion Sanders. As far as dysfunction, like, he could have gone to Houston, where Deshaun was the guy we were like, man, if Deshaun's speaking now, we're like, ooh, maybe Deshaun isn't going to be around. Maybe nobody's going to be around. So that's dysfunction. And if he'd have been drafted by the Texans, you know what? It would have been awesome. Folks, he got drafted by probably the best franchise, maybe in North American pro sports, as far as the quality of people and the consistency and how they value the – he got drafted by maybe the best place you want to get drafted in any sport. And I know shortstop for the Yankees and quarterback for the Cowboys and center for the Lakers, there are all these iconic positions. I know there are. Najee Harris just got drafted by as good an organization as there is in North American pro sports. So good for him. And like I said, I appreciate Drew coming on. All right. So, again, good stuff, Drew DeArmond. If you missed the interview and you want to hear the whole thing, what you need to do is go online, thepodcastpark.com. You can like and subscribe, or wherever you get your podcast, get the Chuck Oliver Show podcast. We're going to have Dan Matthews come on in just a couple of minutes, but right now I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
I do not like shining a light on another individual and either trolling them or, what is it, putting their business on blast. I'm confused by something that a pretty well-known college football commentator has put out on his Twitter feed. It's Danny Cannell. And here is the thing, and I'm going to say there's these two categories, okay? There's like the Clay Travis, Paul Feinbaum category, and I just named two unbelievably successful people in this business. Where there is a degree, Paul Feinbaum, he's referenced it. He was like, just throw some grenades into the Alabama and the Auburn fans, and then I'll take calls for a bunch of hours. That's when he was in Birmingham. Now at the SEC Network, well, I mean, he's figured it out. It's theater with the fans as the leading actors and actresses. And so he lets it play out, and he thinks it's awesome. Clay Travis. Clay Travis looks around for the biggest pot and pan to bang together and say, look at me, look at me. The other category is someone who I don't think he really understands what he's doing, and that's Danny Cannell. He sent out a tweet earlier today, without Alabama, here are the number of players drafted last night by conference. Big Ten, 7, SEC, 6, ACC, 6, Pac-12, 3. All right, well, that's only 22 first-round picks. So if you took out Alabama, see, here's what Danny didn't figure in that you would have to. If you took out Alabama, there would be 6 more possible first-round picks, which means maybe the SEC would have picked up a couple of more, Danny. Secondly, you took out Alabama. You took out the school that had most first-round draft picks in history, tied with 2004 Miami. You didn't just casually – well, if you take out Georgia, you take out LSU. You didn't just take out one of the good teams in the conference. You took out Alabama. Okay, I'll let you play. I'll let you take out the biggest of the big dogs. I'll let you take Alabama off the board. The program that Ohio State, Notre Dame say, oh, shoo, give them a berth, it's Alabama. I'll counter that by taking Northwestern off the Big Ten board. Because without Northwestern, the Big Ten only had 5 first-round draft picks. Without Virginia Tech, the ACC only had 4 first-round draft picks. Without Panay Sewell, the Pac-12 only had 2 first-round draft picks. Again, I'll give Clay Travis, he gets a point for being transparent. He's trying to get you to react. I really think Danny Cannell thinks most of what he puts out there is a reasonable, well-thought-out conclusion that only he has arrived at, and he is informing people of it. That is not the case. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. No matter where you are in the Deep South, whether it's Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Dan Matthews, how are you today?
Oh, you know, a couple of things to close out our week. Number one, Chuck, I've got great news for everybody who might have been up in arms over the Florida news yesterday out of their local politics.
No name, image, likeness?
Yes. So, according to Ross
Dellinger, they got put in their place, didn't they?
They very much did, and we talked about that at the end of the show yesterday, but just kind of like a recap and also to bring you up to speed of where we are right now. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, we've had him on this show numerous times. The proposal to restore Florida's name, image, and likeness effective date to July 1st of this year has been passed in both chambers of the state legislature and will now go to Governor Ron DeSantis, who indeed does plan to sign it. The other part of this equation yesterday is I talked about how you want things done in your local politics or your state politics. Have the college football coach there who is very popular and has a lot of clout and has a lot of people on his side get involved and say, hey, so-and-so, this ain't right, fix it, or else I'm going to make this a larger issue for you. In this case, yesterday in Florida, it was Manny Diaz.
All of them.
We even saw Dan Mullen. At least those are just a couple of examples that I saw. I'm sure that Mike Norvell got involved, although I'm not sure if he did. But then we also, Chuck, like we saw in Mississippi with the state flag, we saw a standout player get involved. De'Eric King got involved yesterday, and he was also saying, hey, this isn't cool. And here's the thing that would have been very easy. They could have stepped back, Chuck, and said, ah, that's the way it goes. But instead, I mean, Chuck, let's be honest here. In this part of the country, if there were a pothole that, say, Dabo Swinney drove through every day and finally during one of his press conferences said, hey, you know what? There's a pothole on Piedmont Avenue here that every day my truck hits it. And it's such a pain. I had to change a tire. That pothole before the E in tire gets out of his mouth is already filled and paved over and good to go. So that's something that you definitely want to be able to use that power if you have it, if you are a college coach. One final thing we talked about a little bit earlier, and that is in terms of recruiting, the guys that you're getting. Chuck, I've kind of come down to the point now of there are two certain types of elite recruiters now. There are those who can get the numbers. But I think the more important ones are the ones that we're seeing, say, at Clemson and in Alabama right now. And they are who I would liken to a Michelin-style chef. They're the elite in terms of being able to not only get the player, but also identify and develop said player. And that is something of why we're seeing the results that we saw last night, where we see six players taken out of Alabama and two from Clemson. Not to say that there are not a lot of very talented recruiters, and in the case of the culinary world, a lot of talented chefs, but there are just some who are just so much better at doing it at an extra level than the others.
Michelin star recruiters. That's interesting. Gus Malzahn. NIL changes are coming in the very near future. Here at UCF, we will continue to help our student athletes in building their personal brands. Mike Norvell, there is no reason to wait to do the right thing. Dan, you're right. Everybody jumped on because they don't want to fall behind. Florida was the leader in this, and now they've actually fallen behind, but they got that thing fixed as well. All right, wraps it up on a Friday, wraps it up for the week, folks. Be back on Monday with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
Call 800-387-4788. 800-387-4788. 800-387-4788.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-329-4115 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-329-4115. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-329-4115.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.